Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 5. 24b is what I've got it written in there, so the end of 24 through 34. And if you read 35, that the end of the story is better than what 35 would put it at, but we're just going to stop at 34. A large crowd followed him and pressed around him. And a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she had been freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." I would be shocked if anyone in this congregation has heard this passage during Advent. It doesn't belong. I know this. It's kind of a weird passage to include in this season, but I really, with the theme of hope that I'm trying to do this Advent season, I just wanted to spend some time with someone in Scripture who felt just a massive amount of hope, despite having no reason besides faith in this being, this man that she'd heard of. Having hope in this thing and reaching out to this thing and touching this thing and having her hope rewarded. I want to spend some time imagining what it's like to be this woman. She has been suffering for years. Let's just talk about the physical suffering to begin with. She has been bleeding for years. Now, what kind of bleeding that is, we do not know. There are lots of options. But the fact is that she has not stopped bleeding. She is in pain. She is suffering. And the doctors can't heal her. She has spent everything that she has seeking some sort of healing on earth, and there is none for her. She has been seeking to be healed. She wants nothing more than healing from the earth, and the earth has nothing to give to her. And think about the anemia and the infections that she probably experiences. How sick she is, how much pain she is in, and there is no hope. That in itself is bad enough. But also remember where she is and who she is. She's in the Jewish people. And the Jewish people, especially at this time, don't like it when you're bleeding. You are unclean while you are bleeding. You are unclean until you stop bleeding. She has been bleeding for years, which means she has been unclean for years. She hasn't been welcome in the temple. She hasn't done her sacrifices. She has been outcast from this society for years. She is the definition in my mind of outcast. She is in pain, and the doors are closed to her. But she finds this thing to have hope in. And she pushes through the crowds, which probably caused her great pain. And if the crowds weren't so dense, she probably would have never even gotten close to him. She would have been barred from even talking to him, clearly never allowed to touch him. And yet, despite all of the risk, despite all of the pain, she pushes through the crowd in hope that this great man can heal her if she just touches his robe, and she touches him, and her hope is rewarded. She is healed. The years of suffering that she has experienced are done. Her faith is rewarded. By acting in faith and reaching out to something worth having faith in, it is rewarded. That's the woman, and that is Christ. That is the level of hope that I hope that we have, that I pray that we have, and that I pray that we can provide to people. Because we are the body of Christ. It is our robes that people should be reaching out to. We gathered in this sanctuary are who are supposed to provide hope and healing. Maybe not physical healing, but hope and healing. Are we? Are we that body of Christ? Now, we do food well. We provide for the hungry very well. That cart for Wellspring gets filled on a regular basis. Things go all the time. The East Wayne Center was given a lot of resources, money, and food to provide Thanksgiving meals for those in need. During December, we will collect for United Faith's food bank, and we'll have a special collection on Christmas Eve. We will feed the hungry. We can do that. We do that all the time. We're great at that. You've fed me when I was hungry. We're good at that. And for those that are less fortunate, we provided over $1,000 of gifts and gift cards to our Salvation Army family. There were people who wanted tags who couldn't get them because they were too slow. The generosity is there. We are more than happy to give to those who are in need when we understand it. Or when somebody is in mourning. I will tell you, just from experience, it takes a brief conversation with somebody and the wagons get circled around somebody in mourning. The troops are deployed with jarring efficiency. And the outpouring of love is staggering. That we do. But what about those things we don't understand, we don't get? We understand mourning. We've all been there. We understand hunger. We've been there. We understand not having enough. We get that. We can see that. We understand that. We can logically reason that out. But what about those things that we don't understand? How are we with those with mental illness? Everyone who knows about the gentleman across the street there has made light and joked about it. And when I say everyone, myself is included, we have laughed a lot and shaken our heads and wringed our hands a lot about that gentleman across the street. But have we actually prayed for him? What kind of pain and suffering must he be going through to just randomly start shooting his gun in the front yard? Have we prayed for him? I haven't. I realized that this morning. I have not prayed for that gentleman. I've made light of it. I've laughed about it. But I have not hoped for his healing. I have not hoped to provide anything for him. If he were to walk in the church, I fear that I would turn him away. Those who are mourning and sad, they're welcome in our midst. Even their outbursts are welcome in our sanctuary, but we so often, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, tell people, you are welcome, but your mental illness is not welcome in our sanctuary. If you can keep it in check, you can be here. If you can't, you have to go somewhere else. And that's a thing. Are we being the body of Christ that people can reach out to in hope? Hoping that there is healing and love for them? Or have we told them that they are not welcome here? It's beyond that, though. It's not just that. If you read the newsletter, you saw my letter in there about the fact that we have sexual misconduct policy and a child protection policy. And we want to prevent sexual assault, but it's not enough. The other day, John Kern and I were having a conversation about this. And I asked him, it was a longer conversation, but the punchline was, what's the policy for reporting me as head of staff? And our conclusion was, I can't find it. John didn't know it. I looked through the policy this morning. The policy says report to the head of staff. What happens if you need to report the head of staff? It's not there. How can we say that we are providing hope and love if there's no way for you to find somebody who will hear you and listen to you and believe you? If you need to report somebody beloved, if you need to report leadership, there's no policy for that. The policy is report it to me. That's ineffective. That doesn't teach that you are safe here. And we'd like to think that we're above it, but I have read so many stories over the past month of people who the church has hurt, and then after they were hurt, they told them it didn't happen or it was their fault. That the beloved one just needed to apologize and they needed to be forgiven and all was forgotten. That's not acceptable. If we are to be the body of Christ that people reach out to, are our arms open to all who are suffering or just those that we understand? Just those that are suffering in a way that we can rationalize out. Because that woman who was bleeding was looking for healing that the world couldn't provide. And people were casting her out because of her suffering. Are we doing that to people? Or are we the body of Christ that people reach out to? Are those that have experienced mental illness, those that have experienced sexual assault, are they welcome to bring their pain here like the rest of us bring our pain here? Is their pain welcome in our sanctuary? Are we providing them hope or not? I want to be the body of Christ that all can reach out to. For hope and healing. I may not be able to provide all the practical healing. I can't heal illnesses. I can't fully heal a broken heart. I can't heal mental illness. I can't heal the pain of a sexual assault. But I can provide hope and direction and open arms and love. That is the body of Christ that I want to be. And that is the body of Christ that I pray that this congregation can be too. May we open our doors and our arms that those who need love and hope and healing can reach out to and receive, because we are the body of Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.